On this episode of the Edge Podcast, Clear Edge CEO Leslie Vickery interviews Kelly Van Aken, Director of Experience and Technology Solutions at Aerotech, the largest staffing and recruiting company in the U.S. Kelly shares how she fell into the recruitment industry 17 years ago, why she thinks a great candidate experience is critical, how recruitment firms stay competitive against internal HR teams, tips on being an impactful leader, and what excites her about the recruitment industry today. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, this is Leslie Vickery, the CEO and founder of Clear Edge Marketing, and I am here today on the Edge Podcast with Kelly Van Aken, the Director of Experience and Technology Solutions from Aerotech. Welcome, Kelly.
Hello, Leslie. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Well, let's go ahead and dive right in. You started with Aerotech nearly 17 years ago as a recruiter. You worked your way into sales and then market leadership. And now for the past 3 years, you've been kind of wearing more of an operations hat with a focus on the candidate experience. Tell us a little bit about what you love about your job today and why you're so passionate about the candidate experience.
Absolutely. So compared to coming up in the organization as a recruiter, sales, a director of business operations, which was very internally focused, which I very much enjoyed, the role I have today allows me to take more of an external focus around the Aerotech experience we provide for our customers. Our customers, really, that experience I look at is both our clients and our contractors. We started with the candidate or the contractor experience because we identified several years ago when I first moved into this role that we had an opportunity to really make a bigger impact with how we were approaching and treating our contractors. And it's been extremely enjoyable. I think what I enjoy most is that I get to truly understand the wants and needs of our customers. And then I get to look at our processes and our technology solutions that satisfy those needs. And what I've really learned about this role is not only is it exciting to continually look at new ways to approach our candidates, but it's the right thing to do. I'm most passionate about this because when you put other people's needs first and you identify the things that will help make them successful, what I find is everybody wins. And I've really seen not only an impact on our Innovero scores through our voice of the customer with our contractors, but we've also seen a lift to our field to be able to satisfy those needs effectively through some of the solutions we provide it. And it's very rewarding to look at the industry in that way.
I would agree. I think focusing on the candidate seems to pay off greatly on many, many ways. And I think that loyalty piece of having people who are more loyal to you because you spend that much time concerned about them, worried about them, and genuinely care about them and their jobs makes a big difference. So I'm happy to hear you're focused on that. And I know we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit to dive into that more. At what point when you started in the staffing industry, because people often ask me, you know, the staffing industry, I even get people who will say, well, what is that? What does that mean exactly that you are in the recruitment space or staffing industry? When you started, at what point did you feel like this is where I'm meant to be?
I don't know that I really had a point where I was thinking this is where I was meant to be. I think when I started 17 years ago, I was selling Cutco. I was actually running a branch office for Cutco, if anyone knows what that is, and started in college. It was a real growth opportunity for me at a young age. And I was looking for a job where I could continue to make money quickly and have advancement. And really, I fell into staffing, which I believe most people do. I didn't go to college saying I wanted to be a recruiter. I, you know, met someone at a job fair and I fell into the industry. But I quickly realized as a recruiter back in the day how rewarding it was to help people find work. The impact you have on someone's life, especially if they have a mortgage and a family, when someone's in the job search space, it's extremely difficult. I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety around it. And when you can make a connection and really help someone satisfy that need, it's just rewarding. So it quickly became about I enjoyed what I did because I really liked interacting with the candidates and the contractors and helping them meet their own personal goals. To the extent where the first person I ever placed to work, he and I, his name is Ben Wahiki, we still keep in contact and he'll randomly send me text messages. And that just feels good. And it makes an impact. And that's really, I think, what I loved about the staffing industry. And it's what's kept me here. I mean, staffing has its ups and downs, but what really keeps me engaged as the industry is that we put people to work. And that's important for everybody.
Which helps explain why now you're so focused on that candidate experience. And it's interesting if you look back to, I would say that moment could be that hook moment. I hear that story a lot about that first placement that I had and the impact and that just excitement and then having that over and over and over again. There's something really special about that feeling of helping other people.
I agree.
So AeroTech is the largest staffing and recruiting company in the U.S. You all have placed hundreds of thousands of roles and positions. And your mission as a company really hasn't changed in the last 30 years, which is to bring great people and great organizations together. It's a drive to connect people and make them successful. That's really the underlying meaning of your mission, which is our people are everything. Obviously, you being a key executive in their company, AeroTech has, they've retained you for so many years, 17 years. What do you believe the company does differently than any other staffing firm to live up to its mission?
Well, I can't really speak for any other staffing firm. All my experience has been with the AeroTech family, part of Allegis Group. But what I can say from what I know in the industry is our people are everything is not just a tagline for us. It really is how we feel about both our external customers, clients and contractors, as well as our internal people. It's about making others successful, helping other people grow, satisfying the wants and needs of those people, both internally and externally. And if you look at the staffing industry today, it's very commoditized. And now you've got all these technologies coming in that most organizations have access to or equal access to support their processes. So when I really think of AeroTech, I believe our differentiator is about how we treat people. It's about the focus that we place on strategic career planning, on networking, on building long-term relationships with our customers, rather than taking a one-and-done mentality, which I'm not saying everybody does, but our industry is very quick, and like I said, it's very commoditized, so it's easy to get wrapped up in that focus, just filling a requisition and moving on, filling a requisition and moving on. But if you really want to be an employer of choice in this industry, you've got to take that mentality of building long-term relationships and becoming a partner to those customers. And I think AeroTech does that well. I would also say for me personally, as I've grown with the company, I've fallen in love with the AeroTech culture. I have grown so much personally and professionally by working at AeroTech, not just because of the training and development that they continue to give their people from day one, but really about the other people that work in the organization. It is a very fast-paced, productive culture, which I identify with, but I feel cared about here. I feel that other people value me and that they care about my success as much as I do. And I think that that's a special company to work for, regardless of what type of industry you're in.
You are, I mean, obviously AeroTech, you are known throughout the industry as having probably the best training program of any company within the Allegis brands and all of AeroTech. And it's something that was really critical when the company started and was really important. So even leaders who start their own firms, they try to always mirror, mimic the AeroTech way, which is quite a compliment, I would think, and very flattering to you as a company to see that you've really set the standard on training when it comes to sales and recruiting in management. Something that I read, you were recently quoted and did a Q&A in the Rick's article, Recruitment Innovation Exchange, and you were talking about the role of just kind of tying this back into our people are everything. And one of the questions was around your new focus on the candidate experience and how is there a new career path basically for the candidate experience? And your answer, one of your answers I loved, which was basically every single person is responsible for the candidate experience. So yes, there's a new role and a new emphasis and focus on it. I would say a renewed focus on it. However, it's not just one person or one division or one department. It's every single person within the company should have that focus, and that they have different roles and responsibilities that are you know, responsible for that piece. I think that's just a true testament to your mission of our people are everything, that to have that viewpoint, I thought was really something special.
Thank you. I do believe Aerotech is a special place to work. The Allegis family as a whole. And, you know, we've been very blessed with some other great leaders that have really helped our people, our everything, branding and putting that mission forward. But as an organization, I've really seen the company adopt it because it does speak to the character of people that work here and to the type of organization that we are. So thank you for the compliment.
Sure. So speaking of people being everything, we're going to talk about you for a minute. So clearly when people write LinkedIn reviews, you hope that they have something nice to say about you when they're doing it for you. And I usually like to, in prep for these podcasts, just take a look at some of the reviews to see. And, you know, you can tell, I've known you for a few years now and have interacted with you in meetings and have just gotten to know you as a person and a leader in the industry. But I wanted to share with those listening just a few things about what people had to say about you. And again, they didn't have to say this, they chose to say this because it's all very, very true. So natural born leader, brilliant business mind, can always be counted on to help maximize your potential. If I were to start my own company, Kelly would be the first person I would want to come with me. Honestly, I can't picture anyone to have as great of an advocate voice for leading Aerotech's efforts and being the best recruiting firm. Her positive attitude is contagious. She is always trying to make those around her better. I'm sure it's hard to hear that about yourself sometimes, but one thing that stood out to me is how much you help people grow in their careers. How does it feel to be seen as a role model, not only in the company, but I would argue in the industry at large?
I mean, it's surreal. I don't know another word to really use. It feels great to hear those things. I mean, let's be completely honest. I'm sure you pulled these off of LinkedIn where, you know, if someone put something negative, I could take it down. But it is nice to have such positive things being said. And I don't really go out and say I'm a role model or I look at myself as a role model. I really try to always be at my best when it comes to my job and make sure that I'm providing value, not just for the organization, but for the people around me. And a lot of my focus is really around doing great work and bringing the people that surrounds me along and with me and helping them be better. And I think the goal is, right, you continue to make people better than you. You work yourself out of a job. That's how you kind of get your next job. So it's not something I would say I focus on. It is very nice to hear. But, you know, a lot of that, too, is I have the opportunity to work for a great organization with great leaders and role models that I've had. And I have an amazing team that supports what we do right now. And it's a team effort. And I think a lot of these compliments could go to everybody involved there.
Well, it's good to be humble. So that's another trait, but it is very surreal to hear that about yourself, but it is also, I think, important to, you know, be recognized for the work that you are doing, not only as a leader within your company, but when other people look to, you know, the industry to see who are the leaders, who should we look up to, your name is definitely on that list, which I think is really impressive. So with that, what inspires you as a leader? Just curious, as you've kind of grown in your own career, what type of things help you stay inspired and feel confident in being that leader? It could be a person, a book, or it could be something inside of you that just really drives you to be the best you can be, but what really inspires you?
So I would say it's probably more internal drive. I would say a lot of my inspiration probably comes from my dad. Growing up, I have three other sisters, and my dad raised us, all four of us. And I have an older sister, and then there's me, and then there's a pretty big gap, but I have two younger sisters. And being put in that situation, I was in coming up on middle school, it really left my dad and I in a situation where I almost became the matriarch of our family, and my role became to really take care of everybody else. To support my dad, right? He was working hard and out of the house a lot to put a roof over our head and do what he needed to do as a father. And he really leaned on me a lot, and we became extremely close to the process. And he just trusted my ability to take care of the family. And that translated into something that speaks to me and means a lot to me. And it translated into a piece of myself that I personally value and get a lot of fulfillment out of. I enjoy supporting others' needs and taking care of them. I enjoy building strong relationships with people, and I love to watch others be successful and grow. And I've had the opportunity to do that personally with my family, and now I get to utilize it at work. And I think, you know, early on, although I felt that way in my career, I probably took a very directive approach, and it wasn't always the best. And I used to get feedback around, I know you care about me, but your approach can be a little, put me off a little bit. So I think I've always had that internal drive, but as I've grown and matured and honestly probably become more humbled by the mistakes that I've made, I wouldn't always say I was a humble person. I've realized several things about myself and really about leading other people. I would say the first is an influential leadership style really works for me, and I believe that that is a great style for other people as well versus more of a directive style. I think anyone in a leadership or management position, there's always going to be times to be directive. But people want to be influenced and led by someone who motivates them, by someone who inspires them, by someone who really creates a vision and supports that vision and brings a team to do great work of it around that versus just being told what to do. And I think as I've grown into more of an influential leader, that's really helped me not only advance myself in my career, but I've been able to watch other people become much more successful on my team and around me. And I think it's important. I think the second thing I've really learned over the years is everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. We're all continually evaluating that. And I think a lot of people focus on trying to fix people's weaknesses. And I've learned from myself, it's very hard to change who I am, specifically if it's a natural style that in times of stress rears its ugly head, whether I want it to or not. So I think looking at people and aligning their strengths with the right role is really how you continue to create success in both an organization as well as for people. So everybody can compensate for weaknesses, and I do that consistently. But when you put people in positions to allow their strengths to grow and be utilized for success, I just think it creates the best environment for everyone. And I've recently, in the last probably 3 to 5 years, learned that about my team and moved people around accordingly. And I think that that's helped impact a lot of the success our Experiencing Technology Solutions team at Aerotech has had the last couple of years.
First of all, thank you for sharing your personal story. I really appreciate that. And as you were telling it, it 1,000% is who you are as a person today stems from that. You can just tell interacting with you, hearing what you say, reading the reviews. It's all coming together for me, Kelly. So thanks for sharing that. The second thing I would say is We just did StrengthFinders as a company, well, about a year ago, and then we continue to actually use it to help individuals kind of grow in their careers. And then oftentimes when we're interviewing people, we use it as well. And we created a matrix that showed the strengths across the company to see where maybe we had some opportunities for growth. But it was the biggest aha moment for me as a leader in our company to see, oh my gosh, I have this person in this role, or we have this person in this role, and it really doesn't align with their strengths. And it completely made sense as to kind of areas of struggle that this person was having or we were having together. So it was often the right person, just the wrong role. And it took us really focusing in on people's strengths to identify what that was. So I appreciate that comment as well. It can really, it has completely changed the way we operate, which has been great. So with that, I just, my niece, as you know, so Madison List, who started in Chicago with AeroTech, I happened to tell her that we were interviewing and doing this podcast, and she was like, wow, oh my gosh, you know Kelly Van Aken? I get so many messages from her. She is a leader in this company. How do you know her? So I started getting bombarded with questions about that I knew you. I felt like I knew a rock star. I was like, okay, I know her. She is amazing. And she said, you know, so for me, just hearing her say that, it validated, you know, what I already knew. But you're also quite an advocate for supporting women in business and in our industry and staffing. Not that we have 5 minutes for this answer, but if you had 5 minutes with her to narrow that down, pare that down to a minute, as a new recruiter, she's fresh out of college, so just graduated. This is her first job, so you can kind of flash back to your times and think about maybe what you wish someone would have told you then. What advice would you have for someone like Madison today?
So I think regardless of who you are in this industry, right, male, female, it doesn't matter. I think for AeroTech specifically, but the industry as a whole, I mean, it's a production-based job. So this industry is about making a lot of phone calls, making a lot of connections, and networking. But if I was going to give Madison advice, I think I'd just focus on really her success will be created about around her ability to build relationships. I think it stems into everything we talked about earlier when you can put other person's wants and needs first, and you can really build a relationship to understand their goals and their interests. That's what's going to separate you from the millions of other recruiters that are in this industry. I mean, when you think about it, it's an old saying, right? But treat other people how you want to be treated. And I think sometimes we need to slow down and not look at a requisition trying to be filled, but saying this is a person that we're trying to impact and they're looking for a job. And what does that do for them and their family? They might have a mortgage. And really, if we continue to look at all of the candidates as people and identifying the right fit for them, that's really what's going to create the best success. As a female, the one thing I would say is don't worry about where you are personally impacting your career. I ironically left my job at Cutco as a branch manager pretty young and creating some decent success for that age because I worked nights and Saturdays and I was worried about the impact that was going to have on my ability to have a family. I was in my young 20s at the time and didn't start a family until my mid-30s. So clearly, the fact that I was thinking that way really had zero impact on my ability to perform professionally. But yet, I think women do that. You hear that a lot from the Sheryl Sandbergs of the world. And I think that you just need to go forward. You need to continue to go after what you want professionally. And I've had the opportunity that I moved into this role, really moved from what I was focusing on 3 years ago into this role, coming off maternity leave with my second daughter. And I was able to make it all work because I work for an organization that values me. And I think if you find a great company that values what you do, you put in the work to prove that you deserve it, they'll accommodate your personal situations. Just don't stop going after what you want professionally.
That's terrific advice. I know she'll appreciate that, so thank you so much. So, Kelly, I often hear in the industry some negative feedback. So it could be, you know, just I'll just give you an example. I work with a lot of kind of fast growth, well-funded tech companies in Chicago, for example. And a lot of them will say, I refuse to work with a staffing company. We're just going to do our own hiring. And it's almost like this just negative perception, whether it's based in reality or not, they have it. So unfortunately, it can make perception the reality. So what do you feel like, how is the work you're doing today kind of helping shape that the perception of our industry into a more positive light and a place where people will want to work in and work with?
Such a great question. And it's always hard to hear that feedback, but Leslie, I hear it continually as well. And I think I stated before, it's a pretty commoditized industry, so it becomes difficult to work through that. I think that where the industry is really growing and the perception of our industry, it's always going to be around how we handle people. That human touch will always be the thing that separates either one staffing firm from another or how clients and contractors feel about it, right? How you treat them and the performance that you provide, right? A quality person, matching the right person with the right job so there's success on both sides are always going to be most important. I think the main difference now versus what we had when I started is the technology to start automating some of the repetitive processes. When you think about the human touch or the ability to connect with others or really make that correct match as being the differentiators in the industry, being able to look at technology that can take some of those low-value repetitive processes off the plates of recruiters and give them more time to have those human contact, positive interactions, understand the wants and needs, and build relationships, I think that's really going to be a significant impactor for us as an industry. And I think it's going to allow us to better satisfy the needs of both the contractors, candidates, as well as the clients. So there's no substituting the human touch, but supplementing it with some of these technologies that will help drive the right match for the client and the applicant, help us continue to provide some solutions around communication, right? Access to things like their paychecks or W-2 information, or really can take control of their job as a contractor, is really going to be done now through the technology. And I think that will help us with some of that negativity in the industry long term.
It'll allow recruiters, like you said, that building the relationship being so important, it'll allow them to do the part of it that they love best. And then if there are people who prefer sourcing over building that relationship, I think it'll just help us identify career paths a little bit earlier as well. But I couldn't agree with you more. Building that relationship and that candidate experience, it certainly starts there. A lot of the candidates people work with end up growing in their careers and getting promoted, and they need to hire. And the more likely they are to have had a good experience, the more likely they are to have something positive to say. So,
absolutely.
You and I have spent the majority of our careers in staffing. What excites you most about being in our space today?
I think the technology is something that excites me most. It's really dynamic to see some of the changes that are happening in the industry because of the technology solutions that are being provided. But I think what is most exciting about that is how job seekers today are taking charge of their own careers. Because everything's on the internet, because we have these technologies, they can go research very quickly and they can understand what's happening around their employment and employment choices. They are making moves that really allow them to take ownership of the placements they're having when working with a staffing firm or the information they have around the industry. And I think that's exciting. It's turning it into a true partnership. I think you always want to say that it's a partnership between the staffing firm and the candidate around making that placement. But when all the information is within the staffing firm's wheelhouse and the candidate doesn't have access to most of it, it's really hard to know or take control of that. And I think the ability for them to have access to information now is allowing job seekers to take control. And it's forcing that partnership. It's forcing staffing firms to be more consultative. And I think that that's a great opportunity for everybody.
Okay, Kelly, now I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to end the podcast with a little bit of fun. So people who have listened to this in the past know I like to ask a question at the end. I don't do it every time because I like to throw the guest off a little bit. But in your case, tell us one thing we don't already know about you that others may find surprising.
Well, this is a tough question for me because I'm a talker and I'm pretty much an open book. So I tell most people everything, whether they want to know or not. But one thing I don't talk about and most people wouldn't know is that I do have a tattoo on the small of my back that I got when I was pretty shortly out of college.
I did not know that about you. You know what? There's a whole new side to you that all of... Aerotech's going to be like, whoa, Kelly. Oh my gosh, that's too funny. All right, well, next time I see you, you'll have to tell me a little bit more about the story. Maybe there's a story behind this tattoo that we need to learn about one day. With that, Kelly, thank you so much for being on with us. And, you know, I know, and you and I have very similar backgrounds and upbringings. Four girls in my family. I actually waited until I was in my 40s to start my family and was really focused on growing my career and business, obviously. And one of the things that, you know, you said today, especially when we were talking about kind of women in staffing, you really wear two hats in my mind. First and foremost, you are a leader in the industry, and I love that we actually focus this podcast a lot on women and staffing, and it's partially because I want people within the industry and the up-and-comers and just men and women alike to see that we have a lot of really strong women leaders in staffing. We need to do a great job of getting their voice out, and to be seen, you need to be heard. And we need to hear your stories, and that's a big reason behind why we're doing this. But regardless of the fact that you happen to be a fabulous woman in the industry, you're a great leader in the industry, and the things that you're doing around candidate experience, I happen to know closely what you're doing because I've talked to you about this in the past, but the fact that you really pushed your company and the culture to focus on that and to take it to a new level, it just stands out as strong leadership in general. So I really, truly appreciate you joining us here today. And people may want to get in touch with you. They may just want to give you feedback from today or just in general, or ask you questions about your candidate experience program or your women's group that you are very active in. Tell us, how can people get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I would say the best way would be either just search me on LinkedIn. You can just, it's just Kelly Van Aken, and you could search at Aerotech. I'm the only Kelly Van Aken there. Or my Twitter handle is kvanaken14. So either one of those would work great. And thank you so much for having me. It's really been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.